You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
TZA Mac writes in, Jimmy G Buckets. The G stands for gets. David, I think we should just retire now. I think we've lost all podcasting privileges.
You know, I'm not quite sure why we dropped the ball on that. That seems to make a lot of sense now in retrospect, but
we were blind to it. It was so obvious. It was right in front of us. We looked right over it.
Yeah. I still like the Jimmy Buckets as a pseudo gangster name, but whatever. That's just my personal tastes.
Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and nickname. Thanks for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here with David G. Ramil. Locked On Heat is presented by Indochino, the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. This week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369 at Indochino.com when entering promo code Locked On at checkout. Bam Adebayo will be with the Heat at least through the year of 2021, and it might be time to reconsider a trade for Chris Paul, according to one of our mailbag questions. But let's start with the news that, well, American Airlines Arena will no longer be the name of the Miami Heat's arena because American Airlines will no longer sponsor the arena. It will be over at the end of the year, and so the Heat will be playing in a building with a new name, potentially in January, if everything here gets wrapped up soon, if they can find a new sponsor in time. And David, already companies are coming out of the woodworks and using this as either a real opportunity or an opportunity to drum up attention, because it was Bang Bros, which is evidently a porn company, a porn film? I don't know.
Studio?
Studio sounds appropriate. They tweeted, and it's been making the rounds on the internet as things do, that they want to rename the arena where the Heat play as the Bang Bros Center, and they're offering the Heat $10 million for the naming rights. Now, I'm not educated enough to know how much a naming rights deal ought to be in basketball. The Heat have had, it has always been American Airlines Arena. Under my understanding, they haven't had to renegotiate that at any point recently or whatever. So I don't know if American Airlines was paying less or more, or if they don't feel like $10 million is enough. Bang Bros is apparently making enough money doing what they're doing in order to pay $10 million for the naming rights. Now, obviously, this is not going to happen. No, but I think it's clearly worth talking about because it's interesting and because it's a porn company that wants to go out there and drum up some attention by saying, hey, and they're based in Miami, according to their press release. And yes, they have a full press release on Twitter. You can find it by searching for Bang Bros on Twitter, which I don't do that
don't
at work.
Recommend. Don't recommend. Yeah, let's not suggest it to our listeners. I mean, if they're aware of the company already, then good for them. But at the same time, look, the reality is that the reason why this will never come to pass is because the naming rights are actually secured through a partnership with the Miami-Dade County government. And so Miami-Dade County owns the privileges to award naming rights, and they will actually be on the books for $2 million if they can't secure a sponsor, which they imagine they will. But either way, a sponsor will have to be voted on and approved by the Miami-Dade Commission, and they're not going to approve Bang Bros Center as the name for the arena. So
I think that you're probably right. I do like the idea, however, of a local company getting involved. That part seems nice. That I like.
Yes.
Like, support local business, right?
Right, but I'm sure we could probably find another suitable company. I mean, it's still basketball. As much as we do it professionally, we talk about it professionally.
Can we get La Spada's arena?
No, but, you know, the public center, I mean,
the Big Hoagie? We can't get the public center? I like it.
Yeah, pub subs at every counter. I mean, that's...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, as if the food at the arena wasn't already good enough. All they needed was a pub sub counter.
Yeah, Rowan and Carney would move from Los Angeles back to Miami just so he could cover the team full time.
I mean, I would move back to Miami, yeah.
I think it could work, too. I don't know. I'm sure there's other companies based in Miami. I'm trying to think.
There's a lot of startups now. A lot of fashion companies are coming over. I don't know of a fashion company necessarily that has taken up an arena name or a stadium name. I know that the design district is happening. I'm sure there's a lot of businesses down there that are opening up and maybe want to create the attention and the buzz. I don't know if it would be worth their while and the money that it would cost. I don't know if $10 million is in their range, or if this is... Does this even set the bar for negotiation? I don't think it does. I don't think like somebody needs to come in with more than $10 million because this is completely out of the question. But I want to go back to American Airlines Arena because I'm a little sad that that's not going to be the name of it anymore. It's always been the name of it. It's always been the name of it. They were in the Miami Arena. They left. They went to... They built this new one, and it's always been the American Airlines Arena. And David, honestly, what pisses me off the most about it is that, under my understanding, the Dallas Mavericks still get American Airlines Center. So they, in one way, win somehow. I know this is not a win or loss thing, but I view it as them winning the American Airlines battle.
Well, I think it's just the fact that it's been such a long-standing name. And look, I've always had a problem with the fact that it's the American Airlines one-word arena as opposed to the American Airlines two-word center. Well,
apparently
Dallas.
Bang Bros is going to... Their name is Bang's...
You can't drop it, buddy.
Space
you can't,
Bros.
You got to move on.
But they want to condense it, too, to Bang Bros Center. So there must be some reason why everybody just takes their name and condenses it into one word.
Look, I don't know
what it is. I don't know anything about this stuff.
I'm looking on this right now. There's a few companies, Novartis Pharmaceuticals.
We don't need a pharmaceutical company. I'd rather have a porn company.
Wow. Hilton International is based in Miami.
Carnival Cruise Lines.
Yeah, that one seems to make sense. Like, isn't the owner or president of a company?
And then
here?
you could call it the Carnival. That'd be kind of cool.
That seems like it makes a lot of sense. I mean,
the one problem with American Airlines Arena is that it was never like cool, like right, like you got the Boston Garden became the TD Garden, and you could still call it the Garden.
The AAA
is good.
That was a fine nickname. I don't know what to call it now, to be honest with you. So,
For now, once it comes off, and if there's any space in between naming rights, I guess you would just call it the Miami Arena again. I would imagine they would just go to the last
heat
name
center,
just for
the heat center,
something like that. Yeah. Could Bubba Gump's over there at Biscayne Boulevard just expand their footprint?
No, I don't think so. Nokia? Jeez, I'm looking. Kraft Foods is based out of Coral Gables.
Well,
Kraft Center? I like it.
Could Rick Ross just name it?
No.
Just call it the Boss House? I don't know. Ultimate Software is the jersey sponsor. You call it Ultimate Arena.
That seems like it's bragging a little bit, but I have also seen some companies already taking tours of the arena, which my concern is that next summer it's going to be used to probably revamp the arena somewhat. Not only are they going to have to make changes to the roof, obviously, which is somewhat iconic with the actual airline silhouette on there, but they're going to have to upgrade some of the features there, and which is good because now
they can use an upgrade.
Yeah, you've got your superstar in Jimmy Butler. You're going to start becoming a prime attraction now that Dwayne Wade is no longer on the roster. You need to be able to sell them on the arena. The city sell itself, I suppose. But at the same time, you need to kind of boost the arena a little bit so that it becomes a draw there. I mean, you've already seen, what is it, the Oracle? Not the Oracle Center. What's the Chase Center in San Francisco? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an incredible luxury arena, and Miami does not compare to that whatsoever. So... any boost would be welcome.
The one thing I don't want is, you remember when it was Joe Robbie Stadium where the Dolphins played and then it turned into pro player? And it was pro player for quite a bit. And then it started, it was pro player for a bit and then pro player went out of business. And then it just went through this series of names. It just said, let's just be Jimmy Buffett's beer company, Landshark. Shocker, that didn't work out. And then, so the beer went under. That beer's not around anymore. And
it didn't work.
Oh, it is around. Okay, never mind.
I think so.
My apologies to Jimmy Buffett. But no,
it's like watered down Corona, which is already bad.
They have that. It's called Corona Light, right?
Yes.
Right. But it's just going through this series of names, and I don't want that to happen with the Miami Heat. The good thing is, like you said, they have Jimmy Butler, they have an all-star in place. The problem with the Dolphins is that they've sucked for 20 years, and nobody really wanted the naming rights until it was hard. And now it's Hard Rock Stadium, which is like whatever, and now they're building that terrible giant guitar out in the distance, which is just insane to me, and it looks terrible.
I cannot stand it. Driving down to Miami and seeing that monstrosity there, what a shame.
It's awful. And it was, so I know I was in South Florida for Hurricane Dorian, and every time that they were in that area, a local reporter was in that area talking about the hurricane, you could see far off in the distance this stupid guitar, this just dumb guitar in the background, completely ruining the seriousness of the report that they were trying to do. And it was just, it's terrible. I hate that thing.
Of course, you know, Hard Rock.
Look, honestly, if they could. What?
So Hard Rock, of course, is now going to sponsor the Heat's arena as well. And we're going to be banned forever.
Beats what Bang Bros was going to name it. But if they could. I'm a little wary because if the county okayed the stupid guitar, are we sure they're not?
They did not. They did not. That's the whole thing. I was.
Oh, you've.
I worked in PR for intergovernmental relations in South Florida, and what happens is that the casino is actually part of the Miccosukee tribe, and they're actually a sovereign nation. They are not. They are a separate entity,
a
governmental
entity.
It's a casino. So they're not beholden to any kind of jurisdiction there. In fact, whenever I used to work for the Florida Department of Transportation, and whenever there was a project, you had to send a letter to the chief of the Miccosukee tribes indicating that said project is going to take place nowhere near their area. Not that they would have a concern about it whatsoever, but you had to address them properly and send out notifications to them. So they can do whatever they want to on tribal lands.
End of an era for the Miami Heat. Dwayne Wade's gone. American Airlines Arena, the name is gone. The stadium will still, or the arena, I should say, pardon me, will still be there. Jimmy Butler will be the team's best player. And maybe they should trade for the second best player. What would it take for the Heat to reconsider trading for Chris Paul? That's coming up next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. We'll discuss SI's top 100 players a bit more at the end of the show, but let's get to this bit of news. That Bam Adebayo has picked up his fourth-year option worth $5.1 million, which means he's locked in through the 2020-2021 season. Does this mean anything as far as how the Heat view him as a long-term piece, David, or is this just the obvious thing to do considering he's on a rookie scale contract?
I think it's more of the latter. To be honest with you, this is the year for Adebayo, and I think that we've talked about the amount of pressure, we've talked about the expectations on him. The jury's still out on what he can do with an increased role. We've seen a small sample of it last season, obviously, but this is an opportunity for him to get the bulk of the minutes at the center position. Obviously, he's the likely starter, and he has to prove that he's going to be a long-term piece, and this is an opportunity. If you lock him in there for this extra $5 million, and eventually he fails in that prospect, then he's easier to trade because you still have control of him. Whatever team acquires him would have
That's
control
right.
for him
control.
And acquire his rights as well. So to me, this is his proving ground. This is his opportunity to show that he is a long-term piece. So
when you say acquire his rights, that means because he'll be a restricted free agent following the fourth year of this rookie scale contract. So look, I think it's just the thing to do. This is what happens all the time. It came out in a press release. It was pretty much expected. The Heat had until the end of October to do it. They did it now. I think that says something, if anything, that they just got it done early. And look, I mean, you get Bam Adebayo at $5.1 million a year. You get a starting center at $5 million. That's a bargain for somebody with Bam's potential and ceiling. Absolutely.
Next summer, will be the opportunity. If he does show off this year and he does prove himself, next summer is when they'll start talking about a long-term extension, similar to what Josh Richardson received 2 years ago.
That's right. And rarely do the rookies not pick up this option, by the way. Rarely does it happen where they don't pick up this option for a player like Bam. So I wouldn't read too much into it other than the fact that, hey, this means that you have to count this $5.1 million against their cap space this summer, which I think that they had in their math anyway. I think that this isn't new money, right? This is money they expected to spend. The window opened. They got the deal done. And they are planning on spending that money.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to ask an interesting question here, at least from my perspective. What would be the center that you'd be willing to trade Adebayo for at this point? And two, what would a successful year for him look like? If this is the year where he has to prove that he's worthy of the starting spot, what would he have to do in order to continue earning that beyond his extensions? But the first question, who would you trade at the center position?
A center who could shoot threes at a consistent rate and guard the rim. If Indiana showed up and were like, look, you know, we're kind of more into DeMontis Sabonis, we would...
Miles Turner is
yeah, all, Miles all. Turner for Bam, maybe something like that. I'm very high on Miles Turner. Miles Turner did beat him out for the Team USA roster spot that's worth. Maybe it was a mistake considering how Team USA came in seventh place in this thing, but... You know, obviously the big centers, right? I don't need to go into the Anthony Davises and the Joel Embiids of the world, but something like a Miles Turner, or I'm trying to think of other centers who shoot threes.
Brook Lopez.
I wouldn't trade him for Brook. You know, yeah. I wouldn't do that. You know, he would have to be somebody also who impacts the game defensively. And Miles Turner is a really good rim protector. He's not as stout on the perimeter, but you know, I don't know that there'd be anybody at this point that would come out. Right. I mean, that's like the Memphis isn't offering Jaren Jackson Jr. for Bam. You know, none of that kind
there,
of
there
thing
aren't
happening.
A lot of there. I mean, there aren't a lot of options. Like even Jared Allen, who's a good rim protection. I mean, he's earned our trust, I think, and yeah, he does have to prove himself. So that's the second part of the question. Then, what would you view as a successful year for him? Because I'm thinking
it wouldn't be the numbers. And I think most listeners are going to look at his numbers, specifically the points, the shots per game, the rebounds, the things like that. I'm not going to look necessarily at that. I think if he can show flashes of an all NBA defensive team type player, that's what I'm looking for. Offensively, this team has. The team has its sources for offense already sort of there. Like, to me, I would rather Jimmy Butler be the driver. You have guys like Justice Winslow and Goran Dragic, and then to a lesser extent, you want to see flashes from Tyler Hero. Like, those are your sources of offense going forward, right? Defensively is where Bam needs to become a staple and a pillar of this team. That's where his bread is going to be buttered. So to me, I'm going to be looking at the defense. If he could just become disruptive and stout and just a ball stopper on defense,
that's what I'm looking for.
I want to see it over 30 minutes. I want to see it in starters' minutes that's and fair. Crunch time. And I want to see it elevated. Like, he was pretty good last year, but I want to see it elevated. I mean, we saw the flashes last year. He would get switched on to Giannis or something that, and that was awesome. I want to see it, like, all year long. I want to get some buzz going for, like, defensive team type things.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I am also, though, looking at his offense. Like, that's where my concern mostly lies. I think the defense is there, and I think he just feels so comfortable in doing the yeoman's work of, you know, bogging down, getting into his stance, kind of shifting onto the other.
He needs to show a little bit on offense.
He definitely does. Like, he needs. Yeah. I don't want to see him passing up open shots. I want to see him take those fluidly and with confidence. Otherwise, it'll seem like more of a setback, and then I'll have legitimate concerns, even more legitimate concerns, about him being a long-term piece for the team.
I'll expect more mid-range shots. I think maybe it's a little too soon for the three-pointer. Let's get the mid-range going. Like, we don't need to rush it with Bam. That's the thing. I think a lot of fans out there want him to start jacking up two or three three-pointers a game. No. Let's get the 15, the 18-footer going. Let's get that going at a rate that was better than Hassan Whiteside. If you get that going 40-45%, then take the additional steps out the three. No need to rush it. I think too many players try to rush it right now. Just the mid-range shot would be great. It would open up a ton of space.
Yeah, look at Chris Bosh. I mean, it took him over a decade of all-star level play for him to expand his range, and he turned out pretty good, I think.
We'll get to our mailbag questions next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Rico writes in, if the Heat at some point decide to make a play for CP minus the three, clever, what do you think would be a realistic offer? Beside expirings, what else do we have to offer? Personally, I hope we pass. Flexibility is a must going forward, but with his recent SI ranking, fans may get tricked. And what Rico is referring to is our friend Rob Mahoney, who we had on the show earlier this week, and we talked about his SI Top 100 rankings, and if you haven't listened to it, go ahead and listen to it, and while you're at it, just go ahead and listen to everything Rob is on, because he's fantastic.
Shame on you. But shame on you for not having listened to Rob.
He ranked Chris Paul at 20, which I thought was a little surprising, because these aren't the rankings of last season. These are his projections for the top 100 players for next season. He is projecting a big year for Chris Paul. If Chris Paul could be the 20th best player in the NBA, should the Heat have offered more for him this summer?
It's tricky. You know, I'll say this. I think I mentioned it to you and on the show before, but I might not have. I'm actually thinking and optimistic that Chris Paul is going to have a good season. Like, I think I think the trade from Houston was, if you don't want to use the word disrespectful necessarily, I think it was kind of a wake-up call that he may no longer be the superstar-level caliber that he sees himself as, like a game-changer. And as a result, he was shipped from a legitimate title contender from the Rockets to a team that's probably looking for an identity now in the wake of the trading, you know, Russell Westbrook and Paul George. I mean, I have actual expectations for the Thunder. I think they can actually be a good team. Like, we're discounting them because they shipped out Westbrook. But the reality is with Chris Paul there, if he's engaged and solid, they still have Steven Adams. They still have Danilo Gallinari. They still have other role players there. The West is so deep that you know, I don't think it'll be through any fault of theirs if they're not able to make the playoffs. But I expect them to be a pretty dangerous and competent team if they hang on to Chris Paul. And we've seen enough workouts from him over the summer. You know, take those with a grain of salt, obviously. But he seems leaner. He seems ready. He seems engaged. And I did talk to David Alexander of DBC Fitness about Dion Waiters, and he mentioned that Chris Paul is another one of his guys, and he's in phenomenal shape, and he is absolutely committed this year to becoming a big name again.
I wonder how much playing with Harden for 2 years maybe helped Chris Paul as far as a mileage thing is concerned, because his usage went way down playing next to Harden, right? So he sort of maybe he was still able to bide some time a little bit. He was nicked up in the playoffs. He had the hamstring thing and things like that. But as far as putting miles on the odometer, it was certainly less than if he had been the number one ball handling option on another team, you know, playing next to a guy like Harden. I don't know how much it helps, but it's worth thinking about. And look, I think, like I said, I think a lot of people agree with you. I think Rob certainly agrees with you. And he's got him ranked 20. And if the Heat could get him, like, I'm not real, like, the Thunder could be really good with Chris Paul. I'm not as high on them as a lot of people are. I still have major questions with the construction of that roster. I still don't know who shoots the ball from 3-point range for that team. Mm-hmm. But they can make a playoff run in the West. Absolutely, they can make a playoff run in the West. And look, if they're out of it by February, they could try to trade Chris Paul, and maybe his trade value is higher than what it was before. Again, I still wouldn't trade Bam Adebayo or Tyler Hero or Justice Winslow for him. I wouldn't trade either of them for him because you just don't want that money. And I think there are going to be better options down the line if you're Miami that are long-term and more offer just a little bit more long-term substance for them. And Chris Paul would be, you would have two top 20 players with Chris Paul and Jimmy Butler, hypothetically. But I still don't know where that gets you for the Heat. That doesn't get you into the NBA Finals. It doesn't really make you a contender in the Eastern Conference. And so it gets you maybe into the Eastern Conference Finals conversation.
We were talking, though, when the rumors first started coming out, that based on the expectations for Paul, I think were a lot lower than they are now after a summer of hard work. And obviously that contract is still going to be an issue. But we were, somewhat jokingly, perhaps, we expected them to move Chris Paul along with the two first-round picks that they currently own from Miami, and that was never going to happen. And so now we kind of have to adjust it a little bit. I mean, would a trade for, say, Goran and maybe Paul and one of those picks, you know, work out? Or maybe add some
something like that.
To
you,
some of those
yeah,
picks?
You add a James Johnson or an Olynyk or something like that for salary. Like, if you can get the two first-round picks, I would. That's when you start considering it. And from what we understand, that's when Miami would consider it. And from what we understand, the Thunder have not been willing to offer that. Their plan is to get Chris Paul to play like the 20th best player in the league and make him worth more than that, make it so that they don't have to attach picks, or that many picks at least, in a trade. Dino writes in, I can't believe Justice Winslow isn't in the top 100 and can't believe Goran isn't either. Since last year, he was in the top 50. Goran with bad knees is still a top 100 player. David, agree? Disagree? Well, we've talked about this with Rob a little bit, so we don't have to spend too much time here.
I think Rob made a good point. So you're just not quite sure. There were the questions about his playing time, whether or not he's going to come off the bench. There is the fact that his shooting is somewhat suspect and inconsistent. I'm hoping that from the team missing the playoffs and the chance that he had to recover at his age, he's going to come back strong. He feels good. He's been public. My only issue is also the fact that, look, I mean, the team was willing to trade him, and that hurts. He talked about it in a recent article, I think, with Ira Winderman. He was interviewed by Ira, and he mentioned that he hadn't seen anything, that he kind of saw it afterwards, and he kind of understood. But that has to hurt. Like, I mean, he talked about coming to Miami and signing with Miami, that one of the things that attracted him to this franchise in the first place was the quote-unquote loyalty that he sensed in he probably doesn't feel it as sharply this summer after you know, nearly being traded to the Mavericks. And so I don't think he's going to pout. He's just too dedicated and hardworking. But at the same time, he is older, and he doesn't have much left to prove. I think he still wants to compete for a title, but that window probably has closed. I mean, unless he's willing to take a very discounted role or rate next season, I just don't see him actually playing for a title contender at any point in his career. Maybe he's content to just stay here, be stable, and put up good numbers.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, there's a future of him coming off the bench. I don't have a problem with him not being in the top 100. I really don't have. And
we
and
don't know. The only there's too many questions about him. Yeah, yeah.
It's too many. The Justice Winslow thing, that's a disaster from Rob. I disagree with him. I can't believe he had Andrew Wiggins ranked over him. And I said it on the podcast. I said he was wrong. And I still believe it. I think he's going to regret that.
Isn't the comment, or wasn't it his justification for Wiggins, the fact that Andrew can probably be a lot more productive given, you know, Minnesota's
makeup? I just disagree with it. I just disagree with it. Like, I understand what his reasoning was. I just disagree with it. But I think Justin Winslow guards people. We know that Andrew Wiggins
is going to be more...
Justin Winslow is far more impactful defensively. He can handle the ball way better. He doesn't turn over the ball nearly as much as Wiggins does, and he's not a bonehead. Like, he's a smart player. I just give me that player over Andrew Wiggins. I'm sorry.
I hear you. I think he's just
yeah.
It's look. First of all, nobody's going to be happy with that list. You know, I'm sure there are people complaining about the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's not. It's Rob's list, and that's fine. It's his opinion. I disagree with that opinion. That's all. Maybe I'm a little bit of a homer. I just disagree with the opinion.
No, you should voice this a little bit more loudly. I mean, just piss off all
I told him on the show earlier this week. I said he was wrong. I think everybody thought I was joking.
Just hang up on him. Hang up on him next time and be like, oh, Justice, move him to the top 50 or else. And then when he says no,
I'll tell you, he got a lot of flack for his top 10, though, that came out Thursday.
No.
He got a lot of flack for it. I was texting him. He said, he's like, a lot of people are feeling this. A lot of people are upset.
What was the
yeah LeBron biggest... at like 3 or 4 or something? Three, I think that's three, what think. Yeah. Steph and Giannis was 1 over Kawhi. Kawhi was 2. Steph was like 5 or 6 or something. It was just like
Steph was 4th. Yeah. I think
everybody because everybody thinks their best player is the best player.
It's ridiculous. I mean, look, I could see an argument for Harden probably being more productive than any other player there. And if you're using that criteria, look, similarly to our argument a couple weeks ago, maybe last month about the all-decade team, like the criteria seems to shift so much that it's hard to kind of peg down exactly what it is that you're looking for when you're ranking these players. Harden is probably going to be a more productive player than Giannis.
Yeah, no, I don't know that, though. I mean, Giannis had great numbers. He had great numbers. If he keeps on this learning curve, I don't know. Chikaruto Marito writes in, did you guys receive any hate mail with your UB40 takes? P.S. My son is actually named after their cover of Kingston Town. David, this was all you. I didn't hate on them. That was you.
Yeah, I actually, I was not very familiar with the UB40 discography. Red Red Wine is a okay song. Sorry, Chikaruto.
It's classic.
It's classic something. Just because it's old doesn't make it a classic. But anyway.
Well, I've heard it. Yes. It came out before I was born. Means it's a classic.
Yeah. I listened to Kingston Town, and I was not impressed. It was really milquetoast reggae.
I'm sure his son is wonderful, though. That's it for today. Connect with us on Twitter using hashtag AskLOE or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes. Sorry, Chikaruto.
Wrap it up, B.